Ranjana Yamuna Chiravana Chari Yamuna Chiravana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paravatikacharya Stotra Shri Shamayas Divine Grace Sesi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Iskand Dibidi Family Shri Gruntilal Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Go Pemanandi Hari Hari Bo. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 7, Text 35. Yena va Bhagavam stushyed. Yena va Bhagavam stusyed. Dharma yonir Janardana. Dharma yonir Janardana. Samprasidati vayesham. Samprasidati vayesham. Tad akyahime nagaha. Etad yak. Etad akyahime naga. Yena va Bhagavam stushyed. Dharma yonir Janardana. Samprasidati vayesham. Etat akyahime naga. Vaishnavis. Yena, by which, va, either, Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead. Tushyat is satisfied. Dharmayoni, the father of all religion. Janardana, the controller of all living beings. Samprasidati, completely satisfied. Ba, either or. Yesham, of those. Etat, all these. Akyahi, kindly describe. Me, unto me. Anaga, O sinless one. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. O sinless one, because the personality of Godhead, the controller of all living entities, is the father of all religion, and all those who are candidates for religious activities, kindly describe how he can be completely satisfied. Purport. All religious activities are meant ultimately to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord is the father of all religious principles. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, text 16, four kinds of pious men, the needy, the distressed, the enlightened, and the inquisitive, approach the Lord in devotional service, and their devotion is mixed with material affection. But above them are the pure devotees, whose devotion is not tainted by any material tinges of fruit of work or speculative knowledge. Those who are only miscreants throughout their lives are compared to demons, and that's Prabhupada refers to Bhagavad Gita chapter 7, text 15, period. They are bereft of all knowledge in spite of any academic educational career they may pursue, period. Such miscreants are never candidates for satisfying the Lord. Omagina Timidandasha Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayamupakaramayam Dadati Swapadantikam. So this is Vidura speaking. He's speaking to Maitreya, and he's continuing with a barrage of questions. He's asking Maitreya to explain a very broad spectrum of different topics. And this is one of them. And that's what we've been hearing for the last week or two. And he's got a motive, you know, for doing that. And he reveals his motive a few texts forward. In text 40, he says to Maitreya, I have put all these questions before you with a view to knowing the pastimes of Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, here's his real motive. He says, you are the friend of all, so kindly describe them for all those who have lost their vision. He knows most of these things already himself. He's actually asking on behalf of those who have lost all their vision. So this is nothing unique. This is the same thing that was being done by the sages of Naimisharanya when they were questioning Suta Goswami, and in different parts of some of the questions that Maharaj Prickett also, when he asked the Sukadev Goswami, same thing. Vasudev, when he had the chance to inquire from Narada Muni, he also was asking about things he already knew the answers to, but this is what these great personalities do. They're not thinking about, you know, themselves. They know the answers to these, and they're not just thinking, well, let's churn the nectar and, you know, to Shanti Cha or Manti Cha, enjoy some transcendental bliss. No, they're thinking, how can I make this conversation I'm having with this great personality advantageous for the people in general? So that's what's going on here. And Vidura is doing that. He has that motive based on a conviction, and he reveals to us what his conviction is. In the next text, he says, O spotless one, your answers to all these questions will grant immunity from all material miseries. So that's why that's his conviction. You know, he's hoping he wants Maitreya to explain the answers to these questions so these people could be benefited. And he's convinced, he has this conviction that they will be benefited because by hearing such topics from a pure devotee, you know, from somebody like Maitreya, it'll grant immunity from all material miseries. And his further understanding is that this is the greatest act of charity. He says here, such charity is greater than all Vedic charities, sacrifices, penances, etc. Yesterday we heard about, one of the questions was, he asked about the digging of wells, the digging of reservoirs, and that's considered an act of charity. And the devotee who was giving class, what's his name? Radhika Jivan. But he made the point that, yeah, that is an act of charity, but for us, the act of charity is distributing spiritual knowledge. And here it's being stated by Vidura that this act of distributing spiritual knowledge is the greatest form of charity. So such charity is greater than all Vedic charities, is greater than sacrifices, is greater than penances, etc. So it has immense spiritual value. And it's actually the number one thing that's missing in the world today. So I'll kind of go back to that. So that's Vidura, he's speaking. And the verse itself is talking about Vidura is stating how the personality of Godhead is the controller of all living entities. He's the father of all religion and those who are candidates for religious activities. So that expression, the father of all religion. Just like here in America, I remember as a kid, growing up, going to school, they taught us that George Washington was the father of our country. So, you know, he's the person who you look to for like as an example of an ideal American, and you try to, you want to please the leader. That's a natural psychology. It should be, and just like we all wanted to please Prabhupada when he was present with us, and here at the temple, we all. Hopefully we want to please Suvas, who's trying to lead us. You know, that's a natural psychology. So Krishna is the leader, and it's all living entities should be wanting to please him. And he goes on to say that. So kindly describe how he can be completely satisfied, because that's the leader should be satisfied. You follow the leader. Now, in the purport, Papa doesn't at all elaborate upon that point, but what he does kind of focus on is, who is a candidate for pleasing the Lord and who's not? So he starts off by making this. He says, all religious activities are ultimately to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord is the father of all religious principles. And then he refers to Bhagavad Gita 7:16, the four kinds of, you know, Chaturvada, Bhajantimam, Jnana Sukritina, Arjuna, Artarti, Yasir. What's it called? As Artarti. The four kinds of pious people that come to devotional service. So he names those, and then he points out that above those are the pure devotees who have no material, don't want anything in material in return for their devotional service. So they're eligible candidates. But then he goes to point out that the miscreants who are compared to demons. They're not eligible candidates, you know, that they're, despite the fact that they might have academic education, they're not candidates for satisfying the Lord. Prabhupada says that here. However, in his purport to Bhagavad Gita chapter 7, text 16, the verse we just quoted, Prabhupada does say this. Not a contradiction, it's just a different mood. Prabhupada says, as far as the miscreants are concerned, for them devotional service is very difficult because their lives are selfish, irregular, and without spiritual goals. But even some of them, by chance, when they come in contact with a pure devotee, also become pure devotees. So it's not that there's no hope. There's some hope, but they have to come in contact with a pure devotee, and they have to be fortunate enough to pay some attention, you know, take it up. And that's, of course, stated in Elsewhere in the Bhagavad Gita, Mamhi Parthivai Pasvirtya, Ye Pisuya Papayonaya, Studia Vaishastata Sudras, Tepiyanti Padam Gutem. Krishna himself says that though they be of lower birth, women, Vaishas, and Sudras, if they fully take shelter of me, they can achieve me, they can come back to me. And also in the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, famous verse, I think I probably almost quote this every class I give, but it's an important verse. Kirata Hunanda Pulinda Pulkasha Abirya Sumba Yavana Kasaraya Yenecha Papa Yadapashraya Shraya Sujanti Tasmai Pabhavishnave Namaha. And I stumble there and Archita helps me each time. Even these, you know, social outcasts, basically, those are races that are all considered outside the Vanashram. They're social outcasts. And Sukadeva Goswami names about a half a dozen of them there. And he says, and even more sinful than them, if they come in contact with the pure devotee by the power of Vishnu, because the pure devotee is empowered by Vishnu, they also can become elevated. So it's not like there's no hope even for the miscreants. Now, here's something interesting that, so it's kind of making like three divisions here. You know, there's the pure devotees, the Mahatmas, who are actually taking, you know, no material motive, anyabhilapsata sunyam, jnana karmadi anavritam, jnana kulyena krishnanushilanam. They have no material motive. They're engaging in devotional service, but no desire for fruit of results or speculative, you know, to progress in speculative knowledge or mystic power, nothing, no. But below them are these four categories of people who are they engaging in devotional service, but they want something material in return. But there's another category. Well, I can't say there is. There's another division. I'm reluctant to say category because Krishna does say in the 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, in this world, there are two kinds of created beings. One is called the divine and the other demoniac. So clearly there's two kinds of created beings. Krishna says so in the 16th chapter. So what I'm about to present is that this is a subdivision that we don't necessarily focus on very much, but they're there. So there's the pure devotees. There's the mixed devotees, Sakama devotees. And then in chapter 9, text 15 of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about another group, which is not another group. I mean, none of the kind, but a subdivision in the group of devotees, the divine beings. And he refers to them. He says, Jnana Jajnena Chapiyanye. Yajanto mamupashyate ikatvena pratakvena bahudo vishvato mukam. Others who, this is right, this is after talking about the Mahatmas who are just totally focused on Krishna. He says, others who engage in the sacrifice, in sacrifice by the cultivation of knowledge, worship the Supreme Lord as one without a second, as diverse in many, and in the universal form. See? So they are. These personalities, they're not worshiping the form of Krishna. They're not technically devotees, but Prabhupada does refer to them as transcendentalists. Prabhupada gave two lectures on this verse in 1966. And in one of them, he just spoke on that verse, Gyane Parayasamura Pashyana Manta Eva, that how you should give up speculation and just hear submissively from a self-realized soul. He didn't really address these divisions. But in the other one, he talked about how these personalities who engage in exactly that, worship the Lord as one without a second, diverse in many in the universal form, they're transcendentalists. He refers to them as transcendentalists, but less advanced. So there's a lot of people in that category. They don't worship the personal form of Krishna. So I went through that lecture that I'm referring to, and I made some notes from it, and so I'll read you a few. Prabhupada says, and there are others, worshippers. They cannot conceive of the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly on account of being less advanced. Therefore, they have been described here as anye, others. He said, these are different methods of appreciating God, but they're also accepted because they have taken into the line. They're all transcendentalists, right? They're on the line. But here in the Bhagavad Gita, those who are directly worshiping the Supreme Lord, they have been described as Mahatma. And those who are worshiping in other processes, they have been described as Anye, means others. So they have not been given so much importance, although they have been accepted. because they have come to the line. Suppose you are accepting the universal form of God. That is a fact also, because the universe, the manifestation of the universe, is also the manifestation of the energy of God. And the energy of God and God is not different. So therefore, one who takes the manifestation of the energy of God as God, he's not mistaken. That is also true. But, of course, there is nothing beyond God. And he goes on to say, but they have to proceed. They have to make progress. Many, many births, Prabhupada says. You have taken the line, that's all right, but it will take some time. Not in one life you'll come to the point. So he says, but we should not be satisfied simply by the methods. We should try to go further. And then now here gives the explanation why Krishna acknowledges them in the Bhagavad Gita. He says, just like a little boy, he's promised by his father. He is in the eighth class. His father says, my dear boy, if you can pass this eighth class, then I can make you a magistrate. I shall make you a magistrate. Boy is very enthusiastic. I shall become magistrate. So Prabhupada says, similarly, these are some encouragement. So Krishna is encouraging that anya, that group of others. So obviously we should do the same. You know, there's a lot of people in that category. They're not quite at the point. Yeah, but and Kali Yuga and you know, contemporary human society, we probably couldn't even refer to them as transcendentalists, but they have some sentiment. I'll give you an example of what I mean. Say people, for instance, who are really environmentalists because they really feel that, you know, nature is something special, and you know, they shouldn't pollute the oceans and they shouldn't cut down all the rainforests, and that's a good sentiment. You know, not, I mean, I don't think you could call them transcendentalists, but that's a good sentiment. So that sentiment could be cultivated. Just like, you know, one lecture, I can't remember where Prabhupada said, you have to fan the spark. That's a spark, you know. We have to fan that spark and help those people become, at least, you know, help them go from where they're at to become devotees. And that could be done by expert preaching. And that's, that's something we have to try to develop. Like Archidhu, I've heard him in many discussions about Varnashrama. He always makes this point about devotees aren't farmers. You know, devotees aren't farmers, but there's people out there who are farmers. So let's go preach to the farmers and make them devotees. Rather than try to turn devotees into farmers, let's turn the farmers into devotees. So you got the environmentalists out there. Rather than, you know, just, okay, they're already appreciating that there's some kind of Krishna consciousness there. You have some sort of sentiment that nature is sacred. I remember I went with, about 3 or 4 years ago, Ananda Kirtan and I went to Muir Woods to distribute books there. We had a legal spot there. And so, you know, we were there for 3 or 4 days. So we both took a break at different times, and we actually went into the, and we could see that these people, for them, that was a sanctuary. They weren't just taking a walk, you know. They weren't just walking and blabbing, you know, eating popcorn as they're going. No, they were like in there. That was a sacred experience for them. It was a sanctuary. They had that feeling. See? So that's not exactly Krishna consciousness, you know, but it's a step in the right direction. If they were got the association of an expert preacher, those people could be brought to a higher level of Krishna consciousness. So, it's a responsibility of devotees. We have to try to become expert, you know, really study Prabhupada's book so that we can, when we kind of meet these people who are like an environmentalist or an animal rights activist. Why is somebody an animal rights activist? Because they want to be politically active? No. They have some feeling. They have some feeling like, no, you leave these poor animals alone. They have a right to live too. You see? So there's some kind of like good feeling there. And with the right kind of association, expert preaching, they could be brought to a higher level like that. So that's a point. So ultimately, from this, we can understand that everybody's a candidate. You know, there's so many candidates. I mean, the pure devotees are already there, but the people who are worshiping Krishna with some material motive, you know, they're certainly candidates for further. The people who are in this category I was just describing, they could be if they're, you know, related to properly, they could be brought to a higher level of Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada said that even the miscreants, if they get the association of the of a pure devotee, they can also take to devotional service. So we have to focus on that. And there's like, so as members of the Krishna consciousness movement, you know, we've inherited a mission. Just like if you're part of a family, there's certain benefits to being part of the family. You know, you get to go to the, whenever there's some holiday, all the relatives get together and they have a great dinner or whatever. And, you know, there's some benefits, but there's also responsibilities that go along with being part of a family. So we're part of this family here, you know, Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya ISKCON. And there's certainly benefits being part of the family, you know, not, well, so many different feasts and nice temple to come to, etc. But there's responsibility. There's responsibility that goes along with being part of the family, and that responsibility is to the mission. We've inherited a mission. It started off way back. We're hearing about it here. We're hearing about it in today's verse. Vidura, he's thinking in terms of a mission. How to elevate the conditioned souls. And it's coming down to the six, you know, Lord Chaitanya, six Goswamis, Nana Shastra Vatadana, Vinosa, Dharma Samstapako, Lokanam Hitakarino, Tribhuvane, Manyo Sadanyakaro. How's it go? Radha Krishna, Padara Vinda, Bhajanan, Nandena Mataliko, Bande Rupa Sanatana, Ruguya Goshi, Jiva Gopalago. We used to recite that verse every evening before we read Nectar Devotion, which was what we read before Bhagavad Gita class. And the translation is that the six Goswamis, they were scrutinizingly studying all the revealed scriptures. Why? Not just because they, you know, or they enjoy reading. No. With the aim of establishing eternal religious principles. Well, why would they want to do that? For the benefit of all human beings. That's why we're doing it. They were scrutinizingly studying all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles. Thus, they were honored all over the three worlds, and they were taking shelter. So, in other words, that's the mission. It's described right there. And we have to try to do that as well. We have to try to do that as well. So, as a special, I don't know, treat, or just interest, we could have a short video we'd like to show everybody. And this is a video of somebody who we all know, and who I think understood this point, and this will illustrate that. So we can watch this short video, and then I'll take questions and comments if there are any. Okay. Go ahead, Shyam Murari. Temple Bhajan Band. Yeah, sound. Do it with sound and start it from the beginning. I found this. I was looking up for some reason the Swami Step, and I Googled on YouTube the Swami Step, and this was the first video. I kind of thought that was interesting that I found this. But anyway, you'll see. Sound, please.
Oh,
Okay. Put it on pause. So there's an example. You know, Sarah had he had the idea. He's out there. I don't know where he was, but he was obviously at some Iyengar yoga center, and he was engaging them in chanting and dancing. You know, doing this, chanting the mantra and doing the Swami step. So there's an example of you know, what we have to do. We have to, you know, Prabhupada said in the Bhagavatam, he's talking about book distribution, how it's samadhi. So, because preaching in general, you know, if you're totally absorbed in preaching, it's samadhi. And we have to just practice, you know, have to do it nicely. Have to do it nicely. And, you know, this was like an example of they're having a good time. You know, these people were not, you know, straight up bhakti yogis, but he engaged them, and they're enjoying it. So that was good preaching. I thought that was kind of interesting that I stumbled upon that. Okay, so anybody have any questions or comments? First hand up was Prema Sankirtan and then Mataji.
Somebody joined the temple, but still have some attachment to impersonal understanding or to Jesus, you know, has Christian background. So what you will advise him, you know, how he can progress?
Just keep, the question was, say somebody joins the temple, but they still have some attachment to some impersonal kind of philosophy. So like you mentioned,
Christianity, Judaism.
Yeah, no problem. Just do the process. You're here, the person joined, so you must like something about being here too, otherwise why would you be here? So just keep chanting, taking prasadam, dancing, chant, dance, take prasadam, and you know, gradually those you develop more of an attachment for the personal, you know, form of Krishna, the personalist philosophy, and that'll kind of fade off into the background. I'm from an impersonal background. I still have, you know, attachment like that, but I just tolerate it, basically. I just go, okay, well, what can you do? You know, I'm going to keep chanting. I'm going to keep taking prasadam, keep going out on sankirtan, keep engaging in the process, and gradually that kind of everything will be put in the proper perspective. That's would be my understanding. Anybody want to add something to that, or is that a good enough answer? Okay. And Mataji.
Hare Krishna, thank you for the class. I liked your point, and I was thinking we could go even a step further and say that Srila Prabhupada was actually teaching us transcendental environmentalism, because he's teaching us to see Krishna in everywhere and in everything. And if one is actually aware of the presence of Krishna in everywhere and in everything, how can one trash the environment or harm others? And so I think it's a very, I think the environmental people could really be a good ally with us, but we would need to step up our game a little bit, because we don't really actually practice too much transcendental environmentalism beyond speaking about it in practical things, which environmentalism is a very practical application. We don't really see that. So that was just my point before.
I 100% agree with you that, you know, those people, as I said, they're doing it. Their motive is they feel something sacred in nature and in the other living creatures like that. And you say, we don't do much other than talk about it. And that's true, perhaps. But talking about it is significant, you know. And there's a limit to what we can do. You know, we're actually like a small group of people. You know,
I'm not really talking about doing something in the greater environment.
Right.
When I say that, I'm talking about within our own environment, like within the temple.
Okay.
Like if you look after the festival at the trash area, you'll see what I mean. You know, we don't separate out our green from our plastic and our cardboard. We don't do any of that. We stick everything in the trash and we're just like, we don't care. Krishna's God, but everything's okay. But that should all be like, you know, segregated so that it can be environmentally dealt with. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah, that's a good point. Swasbhu. Microphone for Suhas.
Thank you. A lot of wonderful explanations. I was thinking as you were speaking that in terms of us and how we should approach and what we should do, I think it's really important to also look a little bit back to the time of Lord Chaitanya, who was the perfect acharya, and he preached to all walks of life, you know, to those that were demoniac and impersonalist. And in all those circumstances, he gave the formula or the remedy of how to get those individuals to become, you know, Krishna conscious. Mm. And then I think that Srila Prabhupada picked up on that particular mood of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we can see his success. Like, Lord Chaitanya was very successful. Although he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the point being is that he came and he was like an acharya. And he showed what we should do. And then I think that Srila Prabhupada imbibed that particular mood and time and place and circumstance. But he didn't really change anything. He didn't change anything at Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he realized how to deal with it in, let's say, the Western culture. Like, you know, when Prabhupada came, it was unheard of to have an ashram where men and women are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what to speak of a sannyasi marrying his disciples to each other. So, in other words, I think the time and place, and you can see that it takes a personality who's, like in the purport, it says, has no tinge of material desire. And it was proven by Srila Prabhupada's activity, of course, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also. So for us, if we just simply follow in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Acharya Srila Prabhupada, we can make a difference in terms of people's lives, and we can give them Krishna consciousness. So we don't really need to change anything. We just really need to how to give it to them in time, place, and circumstance. And that actually takes maturity and purity in Krishna consciousness. So if we just go for that goal, the purity in Krishna consciousness, and just like you Prabhus now are distributing books, you know, in volumes, in big sets.
Mm.
You know, you heard something and that somebody was doing, you picked up on it, now you're utilizing it according to your, you know, particular way of how you want to present it, and the results are there. So I thought it was a very important verse like that, and what you were saying in your class, it just kind of inspired me to think in those particular terms. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Anybody else? Anything? Okay, thank you very much. Kantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
so